Hi, I'm Colleen, and you're listening to Pet News. I've been in the pet industry for over 5 years now, and instead of talking about the typical pet products like dog food and cat litter in this multi-billion dollar industry, I wanted to touch on some hard-hitting topics. Like, did you know animals on Instagram can make hundreds of thousands of dollars? The process of becoming a set animal, working in production, sanctuaries versus zoos, rescues versus breeders. Now my goal is to get facts, viewpoints, and differing opinions. Now they might not get along, but what we want to do as an audience is figure out what we can do to make the world a better place, one animal at a time. In this episode of Pet News, we speak to two different rescue organizations who were impacted very differently as a result of the coronavirus. First, Christy Stevens of Hearts Alive Village in Las Vegas shines some light on some of the good she's seen in the pet community coming together in her community.
It's been amazing. I've just never seen so many people come out to make a difference.
In a state 1,500 miles away, Natalie of Hot Mess Pooches, a Dalmatian-specific rescue, has been hit really hard and is uncertain of her future.
You know, I'm just trying to focus on taking care of the dogs that I have already and trying to see if there are people out there that are willing to, you know, continue to adopt dogs.
Okay, let's get started. Here's Christy.
Hi, I'm Christy Stevens with Hearts Alive Village, Las Vegas. And we're a dog and cat rescue here in town. But we're more than that. We're also a community outreach organization. So we work really hard to help struggling pet owners support those relationships to try to keep the pets out of the shelter in the first place.
So how is COVID-19 impacting what you do right now?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's a scary time for everyone. We've seen some people act in fear, and for some reason, I mean, this is very troubling and I don't understand it, but we certainly had a lot of people showing up to surrender pets to the shelter. But to be honest, we have seen the community rally like never before, and so many people have come forward to foster. Obviously, the mandatory closures of non-essential businesses and things like that have kept people, now they're home, and probably so many people who never thought they could foster before now find themselves in this position to be able to offer, you know, a pet a place. And boy, have they been coming out of the woodwork. We're so, so pleased to see that here in Las Vegas.
Yeah, way to look at the bright side of things, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, when you're down, like we say, and like everybody says, when you're down and there's some struggles going on, and nothing makes you feel better than helping someone else. And we've really seen people come forward. I mean, right now I have more foster applications than we have animals in our facility. So we're directing them to the shelter. The biggest thing that the city is suffering basically because our shelter has to control, deal with the social distancing and things like that. So the adoptions are happening only by appointment. So the doors are locked, and, you know, that's a real hard thing for a lot of people is to, you know, wait on the phone or wait for an email when they're interested in maybe an animal in the shelter and make that appointment to go in. So that's kind of a bummer, but everything is by appointment. And that means, you know, strays that are picked up, you know, we're really asking the community to step forward and try not to take those strays to the shelter. Can you hang on for a little while? Can you reach out on Facebook and see if you can find another solution? Because our shelter is one of the largest intake shelters in the country, and it's the only one we really have here. And so, you know, they could be overburdened very quickly. And that's kind of a big deal right now. We're trying really hard to, without them as a big resource, it's just kind of a scary moment for all of us, you know.
So what do you think can be done to make this better?
Well, what's being done, I believe, what's being done is incredible. And what we're seeing, how people are coming forward, is amazing. However, we don't know what's going to happen in the future. And as more people possibly fall ill, I think we all need to be thinking ahead and talk about how to prepare for our animals if we maybe have to have a hospital stay, or if, you know, somebody needs to move in with us that has other animals. How can we make more room? How can we prepare, you know, a plan for our animals and talk to our family, talk to our neighbors? How can we be there for each other in case somebody's got to go to the hospital for a long time? I think that's a really big deal. And basically having yourself, not, you know, not just food for your family, but food for your pets, their medication, as much, you know, as a month's worth, maybe even more, I think would be a really smart thing for us right now, because we don't know what's coming in the next 4 to 8 weeks as far as, you know, are we going to be successful from keeping this thing from spreading? Can we keep the curve down? Or are we going to see a huge increase in people who are sick? In that case, we're going to have a pretty large influx of animals back into the system if we don't make plans.
If the system's still open then?
Well, it's barely open now. And that would mean on rescue groups, on, you know, it's going to be a really tough thing. So I think it's super important for us all to be making those plans right now, those alternate plans for the animals that are in our homes. We have so many in homes. It's just crazy.
Do you have any advice or any ideas of what could be done to make that a better situation?
Other than preparing, I would hate to see us get to the point where we have to think outside of the shelter for like what we see pop up for large, you know, weather disasters, you know, with big warehouses and animals in kennels and, you know, things like that. I think that we have shown that our human capacity to solve this problem is so powerful that I think if we are smart in preparing for the worst and maybe hospital stays, that we can continue this, you know, pointing out this resource is very strong. And it's been, and, you know, it always stays in my mind when I think about the fact that there's like 70 million households, U.S. households, that have pets. And if 2% of those households, 2% fostered one animal a year, we would eliminate the entire need to euthanize in our shelters altogether. Now, what we can do with so few less people just to deal with this crisis, it's possible. I feel like we have the power as people to get us through, get our animal friends through this. But we just have to prepare.
I agree.
Yeah. So.
Wow. I think that there's a little bit of a solution in what you said earlier, and that you've been overwhelmed with the amount of foster people that have come in. You have too many fosters and not enough dogs to give them right now, but mm-hmm. that will change.
Yeah.
So I think if the rescue organizations that are local to each other, like if you banded up with other mm-hmm. Las Vegas rescuers saying, yeah, hey, let's get all of our foster people that are available to foster on one list. Mm-hmm. And as we have dogs coming in, then we send blast emails out to them. Who can take this? Who can take this? Or have just a little bit more of a community mm-hmm. ask for people. There are people that want to help. And there are dogs that you know will need homes, that their owners will pass or be hospitalized because of this short-term foster system. Yeah. Having that as a resource, I think, would be really smart for small rescue groups out there. And I mean, there are forms online that are free. You can do Google forms. So
right. That's exactly what we do. And what's been really nice is that we have our rescue groups have formed a COVID-19 Facebook group. So we are communicating and sharing resources right now.
Okay. So, and that's going well for you. So maybe we can help other rescuers with that same, you know, task force, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, we just named it like COVID-19 Rescue Groups Las Vegas. And we're trying to, you know, communicate with our fellow rescuers and also keeping an eye on the shelter, so that we're communicating with who's requesting who out of the shelter. So, you know, it's there's no doubt about it. It's all about coming together. You know, our rescue groups, our shelter, our community, you know, we have the power to get us through this, but we just need to be vigilant and we need to be thinking ahead.
Oh, wow.
I'll tell you what, though, I'll cry telling you, it's been amazing. If I've just never seen so many people come out to make a difference. And I mean, I know that because people have to stay home, it's given them the option to do so. But as rescuers who, you know, see a lot of the hard stuff all the time, mm-hmm. we do see the best in humanity too, but this has been absolutely, I mean, it's been one of the most powerful things I've ever seen. So
thank you so much, Christy, for sharing your story. I love hearing that your community is coming together in the way that it is. It's so inspiring and makes me think really good of the world right now when in a really dark time. If you want to help in your local community, contact rescues, shelters. Most are open by appointment only. You can help your neighbors by creating a plan to watch animals that they may have if anyone does end up sick. But I hope everyone out there just stays safe. Now on to Natalie, the second rescuer that we're speaking to. She runs a very small, one-person operated nonprofit that specializes in disabled Dalmatians and Great Danes. Now, she's someone that I personally know, and I've supported her rescue group because I have a deaf Dalmatian. And I'm personally worried about her in this time. So without further ado, let's hear her out.
What is going on right now in Texas as a result of this disease and for you and your rescue?
Well, those of you who don't know what Texas is like whenever there isn't a state of emergency, Texas is probably the worst state in the United States for homeless dogs, especially the Houston area and then down in the valley. So we are always inundated with dogs in need, purebred dogs, mixed breed dogs, you name it. There's always a huge problem here. In fact, we have so many dogs, homeless dogs here in Texas that we send most of our dogs out of state. So essentially how it's affecting us is we're already spread really, really thin. Our resources are spread thin. And so adding something like this where so many people have lost their jobs or they're uncertain about the future, they don't know if they're going to be able to afford their dogs or to donate to, you know, a small rescue or anything at all. It's been a lot. You know, we definitely think it's going to affect travel. In fact, I had planned to move a dog, who has been up for adoption since the beginning of the year, to his, adopters who are actually in, Northern California. And right now that is looking uncertain as well. So, you know, we've got people wanting to relinquish their dogs. They don't, well, you know, I have to make sure that the dogs that I've taken in already are cared for. And, you know, then now I don't know how long I'm going to have some of these dogs. Some of them have already been with me for a long time. And if people are uncertain about their future, then, you know, how many people are really going to be running out to adopt a dog, especially, you know, a special needs one at that. So, you know, unfortunately our shelters are full already and this is just gonna, and I get inquiries almost daily to help out with dogs and, it's gonna create a lot of uncertainty with us and, you know, it stinks because I want to be able to say yes to every inquiry and right now I just don't know how things are looking for our future.
Are you scared about the future or what do you think this disease will do to impact you as their jobs? And
so, you know, whether we like it or not, this is going to affect the economy and, having a dog or having a pet isn't a necessity. Well, I mean, for me it is, but a lot of people don't see it that way. And so If they get to the point where they can't afford their pet, then they're going to be looking for rescues or shelters to take them. And a lot of the dogs that I take in aren't super adoptable dogs to begin with. And so, you know, I don't know that there's going to be a lot of people running out to adopt. I have a feeling that as people realize that they can't take care of their dogs because they've lost their job or anything like that, you know, I'm afraid of this lasting longer than it's looking like it may last. Well, right now, like I said, there's so much uncertainty. We don't know if this is going to be 2 weeks or 2 months or what. So, you know, I'm just trying to focus on taking care of the dogs that I have already and trying to see if there are people out there that are willing to, you know, continue to adopt dogs or, you know, continue to donate. It's just, it's a lot. And like I said, you know, the future seems a little bit scary just because we really don't know what effect this is going to have long term.
Do you think that because of this disease that that's going to do what to the pet community? Do you think people are going to be dropping them off more as they get sick or as they get scared?
Oh, it's already happening here.
Are the shelters totally overrun and are they still open? What's happening?
Yeah, our shelters are still open and people are bringing in their dogs already. It's literally, they look for any excuse to drop off a dog.
I'm sorry. What kind of help do you need right now?
So right now, of course, we always need donations. Like I said, we're one of the rescues that fields every single donation. I don't get paid to do this. In fact, a lot of times what I don't get in donations, I make up for on my own, whether it's buying a bag of dog food or paying for, you know, a spay or neuter. So donations are always appreciated. We definitely need people who are willing to bring dogs into their homes, you know, adopt a dog, especially, you know, either a special needs dog or one that, you know, is going to require a lot of exercise or maybe to continue training, things like that. We feel every single donation that comes in, whether it's $10 or $1,000, you know, mm-hmm. everything counts to us. That's going to make the difference on whether we can get a dog, you know, vetted or if we have to say no to a dog. So the money that you raised with Jackson the Dalmatian, that is huge. Mm-hmm. That's going to help us pay down a couple of our vet bills. So if we have an emergency, we can get them in. And so we can, you know, I've got one dog that's awaiting a neuter that will help cover his neuter, things like that. So, you know, it was really awesome. I really appreciate it. And that's going to go a long way for us.
Anything I can do to help you. You are just amazing. And thanks so much for raising awareness for small nonprofits like you of the struggles that you're personally going through and thousands of others across the country. So what do you, the listener, think about all of this? What do you think is going to happen? What do you think we can do to help? Send us a message and let me know if we should be discussing this more, if there's any other topics you want us to discuss. From this specific topic, my takeaways were how important fostering is. You can raise awareness of the importance of fostering, or you can schedule an appointment with a rescue or a local shelter and bring an animal into your home. There are also thousands of small rescues in the United States that live month to month on small donations. So if you can find it in your heart to donate a little bit, donate dog food, any extra things that you may have to your local rescues, that would be really helpful in this critical time. To do my little bit of good in this, I want to set up a medical emergency fund for these rescues and hopefully for more rescues. This week I'm going to be contacting a few of my brand partners to help set that up and see how it goes. So stay tuned, I guess, on that. And I'll put it in a link in this podcast when it's live and in the next episode to do my little part of making the world a better place, one animal at a time. Thank you so much, Christy and Natalie, for sharing their stories and joining me on this podcast. Please subscribe and make sure you tune into next week's episode. We're talking to Lee D'Angelo. She is a communications crisis expert. So she'll be explaining to our influencers and to other people in the pet community on how to communicate properly in a crisis like this and how it impacts your community and the words that you say to your audience. We will also be speaking to someone who can touch base on the biological impact that coronavirus has on our pets. So whether the pets can get sick, if you can get sick by touching someone else's dog if they're carriers, and all of those questions. So if you have any questions around that, please shoot us a message so we can ask, and we look forward to seeing you next week.